I would say that this is kind of, not just for you, but for a lot of people, kind of a victory lap when you think about it, because Proposal 1 passed, you know, Daniela Garcia passed, and those were two people in a proposal that you supported.
Yeah, I was sort of 2 for 3 with my endorsements in the whole process. You know, first of all, congratulations to everyone who won. And I ultimately think, you know, kudos ought to go out to those who have the courage to throw their name out there. It's an interesting thing to put yourself in that kind of position, and it's not for everybody, but, you know, obviously, as a community, as a state, as a country, it's important that we have people willing to serve, and so for that. But you're right, Prop 1 passing and passing with such a huge number is really not just nice because, you know, I was on the right side of it, but I think great for the state long term, because it will make us much more competitive as a state with especially our surrounding states, so that businesses stay here, grow here, come here. But at the same time, our communities are kept safe, made whole, and no one pays more in taxes. So it really is one of those things that is kind of that rare alignment of the stars that everybody wins, nobody loses.
Yeah, it wasn't even close. I want to say that 75% of voters approved Proposal 1. So it wasn't even close. And like you said, it was something that you really hoped would get done. I think the fear was that people wouldn't understand what Proposal 1 was, the way it was written, and they would vote no, as sometimes people do. But this wasn't even close.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, it was a confusing, it's fairly complex, so it means that it's confusing as it was written on the ballot. And you're right. Typically, when there's confusion, people don't understand something, the answer is no. But not this time around. I think there was a decent campaign put on. Well, clearly a very sufficient campaign put on, because it passed overwhelmingly. And again, I think that's just great for Michigan. Interesting results around the Holland area. So if you think about, you know, specifically kind of all the jurisdictions that would think of themselves as Holland, New Zealand, we have all three of our members of the House of Michigan House of Representatives are all women. Amanda Price winning her re-election campaign, Daniela Garcia, of course, and Cindy Gamrat in Allegheny County. And then one of the two state senators who represent this area, Tanya Schutmaker, is also a woman. So Arla Meekoff is the only fella who represents people in this area. Now, I mean, technically, of course, Tanya has to win her general election campaign, but I expect that will happen. So I think that puts us in an interesting and unique spot. I doubt there are many places throughout Michigan that has that kind of representation, and you know, I think it's a good thing for us.
One thing I wanted to ask you, Mayor, with these new elected people, many of them essentially elected because they don't have any competition, and those that were reelected, what in your mind is the biggest thing they have to do when they go to represent us in Lansing?
Well, I think for especially the new people, and this is true not just of these particular new people, but anytime you're new, there's a huge learning curve that takes place. And it's obviously much, much greater when you're talking about a state situation than sort of joining a city council or a township board. But the learning curve is big. So they're going to have to figure out, process. They're going to figure out kind of the rules of the game, if you will. And then they have to build relationships. Being a legislator, especially a legislator, is really, it's a team sport. And I think the most effective legislators find a way to figure out how to keep their principles while at the same time compromising sufficiently to get things done. It's really rare in a legislative role or, frankly, in governing to be able to get everything you want. You have to sort of decide, is enough of this loaf, is there enough of this loaf in this particular bill that I can support it? And the old saying that you don't like to watch sausages or laws being made, and politics, especially legislative politics, is the art of compromise. So being able to be effective in that, while at the same time having positions and principles and sticking to them, that I think is always the biggest challenge for any elected official. But I think especially a new one coming in, because everything is new and there's just a lot to learn. But I have no doubt that the folks that we're sending to Lansing will figure those things out. They'll figure them out well. And not only will they represent us well, but they'll be leaders in the state.
Let's switch gears a little bit, Mayor, and turn to really, in many ways, the face of our community. And that's the windmill, a story that we saw online two nonprofit groups, the Tulip Time Festival, the Holland Area Holland Area Convention, and the Visitors Bureau say they're not in a position to take over the day-to-day operations of the Windmill Island Gardens. What's the future of the windmill if we can't find someone to take over day-to-day stuff over there?
Well, I don't know it's a bit of a... the proposal that was put out there was a little bit of a let's test the waters and see if there's anyone interested in taking it over. I don't know that we're really at the point where we have to be very concerned about it, because I think probably what will end up happening is there will be a person who will be hired to run the place, whether that person is employed by the city or employed by a nonprofit, and they'll be given great latitude to not simply do things business as usual, but really to try and make it much more of a popular and interesting space. You know, there's been a lot. There's always discussion, especially this time of the year, with the activities happening, for example, at a Meyer Gardens. And is there a way potentially that we could do some sort of programming? Probably not on that scale, but programming that have more events on the island. So I think that ultimately what we'll see is that we'll find the right people to really take the place over and make it sort of less of a city department kind of feel and more of a park and attraction and event sort of feel. And I'm not terribly concerned, I guess, is my short answer to this. And I think we'll be fine.
So just a minor setback to something that you think will take care of itself. Because, I tend to agree with you. It's the windmill. We're not just going to let it rot and decay. We're going to take care of it.
No. I mean, and there's no question on that. This is more. This has less to do with maintenance kinds of things, and making sure the lawn gets mowed and the flowers are beautiful. This has more to do with transforming the space from what it historically has been. Initially, an attraction, almost like a mini amusement park. Then it more turned into kind of a an appendage of the city, if you will, kind of a park.
Sure.
And I think we're going to see some hybrid of those things, but programming that will be largely event-driven, I think, and less just sort of, if you build it, they will come.
Sure.
Kind of mentality. So no, I mean, there is no danger whatsoever in the place falling into disrepair or all of the investment that has been made and is still to be made in the next couple of years being for naught. I don't think that's not even crossing anybody's lips.
Marker Dykstra, I appreciate the time. You have a great weekend.
Hey, thanks, Dan. You too.